Thanks for downloading the Wave Church podcast. We hope this message inspires and brings you into a deeper relationship with God. Enjoy the message.
Are you ready for the word this morning? Come on, somebody. You ready for the word this morning? We had a lot of fun in the 9 a.m., but I think we're going to have just a little bit more fun in 11 a.m. Can I get an amen? Thank you, band. You guys are amazing. Anybody love our band, our worship team? If you're wondering, no, I'm not Pastor Steve. Pastor Steve is at home in Wave Church this morning. He's just in another room. We're one house with many rooms. He's in our North Carolina campus this morning, announcing some exciting changes. We are sending our campus pastors of our North Carolina campus who have been our campus pastors of our North Carolina campus to Canada to plant a church. Why? Because Canada needs Jesus. Can I get an amen? And he was also announcing who the next campus pastors were at North Carolina who have already been on our team up there in North Carolina. What I love is there's a difference between being went and being sent. And I always love when we're able to send people from our team, and we are sending our North Carolina pastors to Canada to go eat some maple syrup. I'm a little bit jealous about that, and spread the gospel. And Pastor Steve was with the leaders in North Carolina on Thursday night. What's cool is, as he announced it, people stood to their feet with so much excitement and passion for both of those changes that are taking place. I love, and I say this a lot, but I really mean it, I love that we are a church that has vision beyond our own community, our own city, but it has a vision to spread the gospel wherever we can, wherever God has called us to. This series, by the way, my name is Josh. I have the honor and privilege of serving as the campus pastor here at Wave Church. And this series on Who Is This Man, I mean, every week we talk about Jesus, but we focus as much as we can on Jesus in this series. It's special for me because when I think about the name of Jesus, I am reminded that I am nothing without Jesus. I'm nothing. I'm reminded of an insecure, messed up pastor's kid who found out that this isn't just church and it's not just something that my parents believe in, but I found out there's a God in heaven who's madly in love with me and madly in love with humanity. It's not off in the distance, but I had an encounter with the presence of Jesus that changed me forever. And I find it amazing and outrageously humbling that God, every time I have the opportunity to speak, especially in our church, it's so humbling, I think to myself, God, that he would use me to articulate his gospel. The good news is that it's not just me speaking this morning, but it's by his grace. The Holy Spirit is in this room, and we're going to read some Bible, if that's okay, because we are a church that believes in the Bible, in case you had forgotten. Can we do that? John chapter 10, verse 9, and then we're going to pray. It says this, Jesus speaking. It says, I am the door. Somebody say door. Say it like you're in Wave Church. Say door. Door. I am the door. If anyone, somebody say anyone. Anyone. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, will go in and out and find pasture. Philippians 2, verse 7 through 8, this is out of the Message translation. It says this, I like this. It says this, think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. By the way, when I say I like this verse, there are some verses in the Bible that I don't like that challenge me, just in case you were wondering. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like love your neighbor, love your enemy. Can I get an amen? Think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status no matter what, not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave, became human. Anybody thankful that Jesus came in the flesh, became human? Having become human, he stayed human. I like that because Jesus could have came and became human and then realized what was going to play out and be like, you know what, I'm out. It's not worth it. It says he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death. And the worst kind of death at that, a crucifixion. Before we pray, I do want to welcome our online campus, all those, there's thousands of people watching online, and a number of those are amazing men and women who are serving in our military and fighting for our nation. And want to let you know that we honor you. You're a part of this service today, and we welcome you. Come on, church, can we welcome them this morning? Typically when I preach, I like to have keys play behind me the entire time because it makes things sound more spiritual. And I had a conversation a couple of weeks ago with a friend of mine who's in the military. He's a commander in the Special Forces, and he's currently overseas right now. And the conversation, first of all, he was making fun of how many amens I said, which I sort of appreciated and sort of didn't. And then he asked if I could stop having keys play behind me during the message because through the stream, sometimes it's distracting. And I found out, A, that we can actually remove the keys from the streaming through the stream, so that won't be a problem. But I also thought to myself, when a commander in our Special Forces asks you to do something, it's a good idea to listen to it. So I know he's going to be watching this message. There will be no keys. After I pray, there will be no keys. And at the end of the message, there will be keys again. While we pray, just for that spiritual moment, can I get an amen? I will say, though, with no keys, it probably means I'm going to ask for some more amens. Is that okay? It's like give and take. Why don't we pray this morning? Jesus, I thank you. God, we thank you for who you are. God, I pray that we don't need to wait till Easter to be reminded that we are nothing without you. God, I thank you that you have designed for every person to be in this room today. There is nobody here that you are angry they are here, but you are glad that every person is here. God, you have something for each and every single one of us this morning, whatever season of life we may be in. Holy Spirit of God, I ask for your anointing, your authority, your power. Without it, I'm nothing. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are already ministering to people's hearts today. And God, as a church family, we just come together in unity again, and we just pray for the New York Jets organization, and we just declare next year that somehow, some way, come on, church, stay with me, somehow, some way, they're going to make the playoffs. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Shout out to UVA, by the way, who won yesterday. Not really a huge basketball fan. Last time I tried to play basketball, I ruptured my Achilles, so no thanks. We recently took a trip to Israel with our young adults, and it's my second time going, and every time I go, well, every time it's been twice, but going again, it just becomes more special. It's even more surreal of being where Jesus walked. And I was also reminded, I think I said this last year, just how blessed we are to live in the nation that we live in. I don't know if you get the opportunity to travel to another country, but every time I do, I'm reminded just how blessed we are to live in the nation that we live in. Can I get an amen? Now, granted, we got a lot to work on, and we are far from perfect, and there are many things we need to get better at and do better as a nation. Can I get an amen? But also, I think sometimes if we're not careful, we can forget that we really do live in the greatest nation on earth. And I'm so thankful for one of the reasons that's the case is like we talked about our military. And I do want to thank those of you who are in our service today and you have family members or loved ones who are away right now serving our nation. I want to honor you and thank you. It's because of what you do, they can do what they do. Come on, church, can we take a moment and really thank families today? And then on a lower practical level that doesn't really matter really, but it kind of matters to me, is there's things that our nation has that's just great, like Israel doesn't have Chipotle. Like, can you imagine not having Chipotle available to you? Some of y'all think this is funny. This is a deep concern for me. I cannot imagine not having double chicken with guac and sour cream and cheese and extra lettuce available to me whenever I would like. Do I have any Chipotle fans in the house? We'll stick together. People refer to these issues as first world problems. I say that because I experienced a first world problem recently that maybe you have experienced. I don't know if you've ever traveled with multiple people, Sometimes this has happened. This happened to me a couple of months ago, where you travel with a group of people, and for whatever reason, some people get upgraded and some don't. I'm in the selfish perspective: either we all get upgraded or we all don't, or I get upgraded and then we're good. Anybody in my selfish perspective? I was traveling with our family just recently. And I was with my mom, my dad, my beautiful wife, Brooke, and our little girl, Liv, and Alyssa, who's my sister, and Jared, who's obviously my brother-in-law, and they're our Norfolk campus pastors, and their two kids, Jax and Lennon. It was the day before we were getting ready to leave to come home, and we get a notification from United Airlines that there's upgrades available because of Pastor Steve and how much he flies. They were available to us for free. The only problem is all of us except for two got upgraded. Everybody but Jared and I and Jax, because they're not going to separate a little boy and his dad, were upgraded. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. Again, context, first world problems. Bear with me with the illustration. Immediately, Jared and I, there's a bond that takes place. We are in unity together. Like, Jared, we're going to make it through this together. Jax, you got no choice, but we're going to do this together. Jared, we got this. Jared, I got you, and you got me. We got three seats together. We're going to make this as comfortable as we can. And then I'm trying to figure out, how can I figure out how to convince Alyssa? I'm not going to ask Brooke because I value my life, but how can I ask Alyssa to switch seats with me? Like, I'm like, Alyssa, you know, the Bible says that the last shall be first and the first shall be last. So either you live by the word of God or you don't. So are you going to switch seats with me, even just for a moment? Like, allow me to experience just a little bit of reclining so I can sleep just for a little bit. And I've heard the food is so much better. It didn't work. We check in to the airport the next day, and the lady says, oh, it looks like somebody else has been upgraded. And because God loves me more than Jared, I was upgraded and he wasn't. And what went from Jared, we're in this together, immediately turned to, who is Jared? I don't know who you are. Jared who? It's nice to see you. Wouldn't want to be you, Jared. Bye, Felicia, Jared. And he's like, Josh, what about like this Christian stuff you were saying about, you know, exchanging? The Christian thing would be to do. I said, you know, Jared, I thought about it. The Bible says when I was a child, I thought like a child. And then I grew up and started to think more like a Christian. I thought about it, and I was like, you know what? I know that God has called me into a greater place and to move forward and to keep my eyes. I'm not going to look behind me to my past, and I know that there's a promised land God has called me to, and I know I've spied out the land. I see giants of reclining seats, and I see giants of better food. I see giants of better service, and I'm not going to allow that to withhold me from walking into the promised land, Pastor Jared. I'm not going to look to my past and risk turning into a pillar of salt. I'm not going to do that. It's like, what about you could exchange and just for a moment, and I could go up there and you could sit with Jax. I'm like, Jared, I would never have a little boy separated from his father in any context. Why would I give up my first class status for him? And I'm not even joking, because I didn't. I sat there in first class the entire way. Can I get an amen? Why would I give up my first class status for my brother-in-law? You know, church, I pray that it doesn't always take an Easter to refresh and remind us that is exactly what Jesus did for you and for me. Jesus gave up his royal seat, his royal status as the Son of God, and he left heaven and came to earth and took on our status as human beings, gave up his first class status, sat in my economy seat, in my middle economy seat, ate my economy food in the back of the plane so that we could experience the first class of freedom, a relationship with the Father, purpose and joy and peace. Peace and everlasting life. Who is this man? This is the man that made the great exchange for you and for me. This man is the Almighty One. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the advocate. He is our advocate. He is the author and the perfecter of our faith. He is the authority. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. He is the bread of life. He is the Son of God. He is the bridegroom. He is the chief cornerstone. He is the deliverer. He is our deliverer. He is faithful and he is true. He is the good shepherd. He's the great high priest. He's the head of the church. He's the holy servant. He is the I am. He is the great I am. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. He's the indescribable gift. He's the judge. He's the King of kings, and he's the Lord of lords. He is the Lamb of God. He is the light of the world. He is the lion in the tribe of Judah. He's the Lord of all. Let me catch my breath. He's the mediator. He's the Messiah. He's the mighty one. He's the one who sets free. He is our hope. He is our peace. He is the prophet. He is the redeemer. He is the risen Lord. He is the rock, the sacrifice for our sins. We're going to keep going. He is our Savior, the Son of Man, the Son of the Most High, the Supreme Creator over all, the resurrection and the life, the door, the way, the word, the true vine, truth, the victorious one. He is the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and he is our Prince of Peace. Can I get an amen? Amen. Need to work on my cardio. Here's the thing. All those things I just said, it's what the Bible says about this man Jesus. But Jesus didn't give up his status and became our status and took our place on the cross and die for you and for me and raise from the dead so that we could hear about that. He did so that we could know him personally. On this trip in Israel, I was reminded of this. We had a different tour guide for the last 3 days. He's an awesome guy. He's become a friend. And he told us, we were aware that he was not a religious man, didn't believe in any religion, he was not a follower of Jesus. And I hear him, as we're going on the last 3 days of this trip in Israel, talk about the Word of God. And I'm listening to him talk about Jesus. And I'm listening to him say to us how the Bible needs to come alive in us, yet all I can think about how it hasn't come alive in him. He knew all this information. He could say all those 50 things without looking at a piece of paper like I had to. Yet, you could be so close, but so far. And I'm reminded, being as a pastor's kid growing up in church, how easy it is to be in church and be so close. And we miss out on the whole point. It's to not just hear about him, but to know him personally. And I thought about what we would focus on this morning as I was praying and trying to figure out what we would focus on this morning. I was talking to Rachel this week. I was planning to have a couple of points, and I couldn't just get away from this one idea that I believe is for you and me. I believe it's for our church. I believe it's for the church this morning. And I believe it's something that the church, we must understand if we are really going to reflect who this man really is. It'll make more sense in a moment, but my point is this, is when we answer this question, who is this man? You can write this down if you're taking notes. He is the door. Turn to your neighbor and say, he is the door. Turn to your other neighbor that you just ignored and say, he's the door. John chapter 10, verse 9 says this, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. It doesn't take long to realize that there are many doors in life. My little girl lives, she's not even 2 years old yet, and she's already figured out what doors do. She's already figured out by watching mom and dad that if she turns the handle enough, the door just might open. For me personally, I have struggled with doors in my life. Why? Is because the doors they're just not designed well. I don't know if it's a push or if it's a pull. And if I'm nervous, like I remember dating Brooke and, you know, being uncomfortable, and I would see a door or two doors and instantly like fear would grip my heart. Because I'm like, I don't know if I'm supposed to push, I don't know if I'm supposed to pull. I don't know, I gotta try and get in front of her so I can make sure I hold the door open for her. Some doors are exclusively for pushing, some are exclusively for pulling, some are exclusively for revolving. Some doors you can lock, and they're meant to be locked. Some doors, when they're locked, it is exclusive for whoever is on the other side of the door. For example, a public family restroom. For whatever reason, some people, I never struggled with bathroom doors. If it's locked, it means it's locked. But there are some people out there who aren't convinced, even though it says occupied in red. Red means stop. Can we all come in agreement? They have to, and I call them doorknob jostlers. They have to jostle the doorknob. And if this has ever happened to you, you know the fear that rises up inside of you as soon as that doorknob starts to jostle. And you know what? I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. Maybe the occupied sign is broken, but you tested the doorknob and it's locked, which means it's occupied. And it is exclusively for me, not for you. But this is what other people do. That's not enough. And so they go beyond just jostling the doorknob and they have to knock on the door. You know what? I think I should be there. There should be a penalty. I think we need to pass a bill where however many times you knock, there's $1 million penalty for every time that you do. And then the thing happens that you're dreading is that they ask, after figuring out that it's occupied, is anybody in there? The correct response should be with authority and a slight nervous tone. Yes, there's somebody in here. For me, it's typically like, ha! You might know what I'm talking about. If that door's locked, it's exclusive for me. And you're not included in that door. This is where the door of Jesus is so different to any other door. Because the door of Jesus is never locked. It is not exclusive to a type of person. This door is strictly inclusive. We need to understand this morning as the church. Jesus says, I am the door. And if anyone enters by me, 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 he will be saved. Jesus is strictly inclusive. I look at the life and ministry of Jesus, and I've observed how often that he will include people that people were excluding. I love that there are moments in scripture where Jesus will stop everything of what is happening. And the most important thing to him is to make sure that somebody didn't feel like they belonged. He would also show everybody else around him who were thinking that they don't belong, that they do. I thought about the woman at the well, all these moments in God's word, Zacchaeus, the woman caught in the act of adultery. Lepers, people that were sick, that were outcast from society, the woman with the issue of blood, the criminal on the cross beside him while he was on the cross, Cornelius. And Jesus is setting up his disciples so that they understand that when he is on the cross is strictly inclusive. And the disciples had to learn this lesson again and again and again, and I think if they do, I think there's a good chance we do. I know I do. And there's a moment in God's word that, again, I was preparing this message because I normally wouldn't think about this situation that we're going to look at here in just a moment. But it's a moment where, because this is what we do as well sometimes, is the disciples incorrectly conclude that this type of person that we're getting ready to read about is welcome around the door, but you can't get close to the door. But that's not how the strictly inclusive door of Jesus works. In Mark chapter 10, verse 13, verse 14, it says this, people were bringing little children. They're bringing their kids to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, to pray for them. But the disciples rebuked them. Can you imagine this? Like I'm bringing little Liv up to Jesus and Peter has the audacity to rebuke me. You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna punch Peter in the face. Can I get an amen? Like imagine this. We don't have to, because look what Jesus says. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. Another translation says he was irate. He was furious. He said to his disciples, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Here is another moment in God's word where the disciples incorrectly conclude that there is a type of humanity. There is a type of humanity, and you can stand off to the side, but you are not welcome to the door. And you are not welcome to the feet of Jesus. And Jesus boldly shows his disciples just how inclusive this door is. The disciples remind me that if we aren't careful as the church, how easy it is to begin to exclude. This is what we do. We begin to box people. You ever done that? We begin to put people in boxes. We start to draw conclusions on who is worthy of being included. And I found this is what I've observed, is the longer that we are in church and the longer that we are Christians, the greater risk we are of excluding. It should be the other way around, where the longer that we're in church and the closer that we get to Jesus, the more inclusive we are. There's one big problem. There's many problems with this, but there's one problem I want to focus on this morning, because when we start to live and think like this, of excluding rather than including, this is what tends to happen, is people who start to come to church who are already unsure if they are welcome and if they belong, instead of having an inclusive church experience, what they experience is an exclusive Lowe's experience. Now, I love Lowe's, okay? This is not a knock on Lowe's. What I'm about to share with you is more about my inadequacy as a human being to do anything home-related, okay? I walked into Lowe's, I think it was last year, because I needed to touch up paint some ceiling. I can't even describe it. That's how bad I am at this stuff. I needed to touch up paint on our ceiling in our house. And I walk into Lowe's, and because I know that I'm not good at this, I already feel uncomfortable. I'm nervous to talk to the employee. Like, I wish I just knew everything and I could ask a question to an employee just so that I could answer it before him. But I can't do that. And so I approach the paint desk, and I can see the guy working behind the paint desk, and he's already looking at me in a condescending way. It's like he already knows that I'm incapable, which is a good judgment on his part. I say, "Hey, sir." He's like, "Hold on 1 second, I need to finish what I'm doing." I was like, "Oh, I forgot, I'm the customer. You gotta put me second, I forgot about that." And so we finally have a conversation, and he's like, "Well, what do you need to do?" I was like, "Well, I gotta paint like the ceiling area it's not the roof, it's the ceiling, you know, the under part in your house." And he's like, "Okay, well, what color paint?" I'm like, "Well, that's why I came to talk to you. I'm pretty sure it's white." He's like, "What kind of white?" I'm like, "What kind of white? There's multiple whites of paint for ceilings?" He's like, "Yeah, there is." I'm like, "Well, let's just pick one that looks the whitest and we'll go with that." He said, "Well, why are you painting?" I said, "Well, there's this stain, it's kind of brown, and I'm trying to describe what it is." He's like, "You mean a water stain?" I'm like, "Yeah, that's probably what it is." He starts to laugh at me, like I'm supposed, well, I should know that, but like I'm supposed to know that. Took me down the aisle, didn't trust me to go by myself. Again, good judgment on his part. I felt so uncomfortable, and I honestly felt like such an idiot. I didn't want to go back to Lowe's. And when I go to Lowe's now, I will avoid the paint desk. Because I got the feeling that for me to go back to the paint desk, I've got to come back ready. I've got to get my paint stuff together. Church, can I remind us this morning, we are not a Lowe's department store, and people don't need to get their paint stuff together to approach the paint desk. People don't need to get their lives together to approach the door of the house of God. Jesus is not calling his church to be perfect. He's calling us to be strictly inclusive, where people do not avoid the church, but they feel drawn to the church. You know what I believe? I believe God is not calling us to be a type of church. I pray the day comes, and I believe we're headed in this direction, when people come to Wave Church, they can't tell what type of church we are. Is that a white church? Is that a black church? Is that in-between church? Is that a sort of diverse church? Is that an old people church? Is that a young people church? Is that a worshiping church? I don't know. What I do know is that it's full of every person of every kind, and they feel welcome in the house of God. Are you hurting? Are you broken? Are you messed up? Are you confused? Are you doubting? Welcome. And welcome to the door. Welcome to the journey of being transformed by the grace of Jesus. Can I get an amen? I wonder if we could ask ourselves this question this morning. And I pray that you'd really think about this, is who have you included recently? Who have you included in your life, in your world, in your Christian life, in church with you? Who have you included recently? It could be something as simple. I think if you've been coming to church long enough, it's not about us anymore. And so my mission when I'm in the lobby is not just to find my friends, but it's to find somebody who doesn't feel welcome. And I'm gonna include you with me. Why don't you sit with me? I wonder who have you included recently? I think one of the greatest ways to tell the maturity of a Christian is how inclusive they are. The thing about including people is that it typically is uncomfortable, especially if that person isn't like you. And it's a little uncomfortable, and it takes more work. And it means I've got to be vulnerable again and begin to share my life with somebody again. And now I've got to learn and understand your story and your life and where you come from. I think naturally, at least for me, it's just easier and safer to stick with my group. Now, don't get me wrong, the community is important, but we are always including. Just last week, I was golfing with two of my friends. One of these friends in particular, I hadn't hung out with in a long time. I was excited to catch up with him, to spend time with him. And there was just three of us, and typically if you're playing golf, it's groups of four. And if the golf course is busy, if somebody's playing by themselves, they will ask for that person to join your group. So we go to the first tee, and sure enough, it's busy, and the marshal comes up and asks us, he says, "Hey guys, really busy today. This guy's playing by himself. He's a single. Do you mind if he plays with you?" He wasn't really asking. If I'm being honest with you, my internal response was no. I'm with my two homies. I haven't seen this one in a long time. This is gonna be our special little time together. And I don't wanna now, as we play golf and I was gonna catch up with him, now I've gotta also work at including this person. And now I've also got to make sure I'm thinking about him as well, and I can't just, it's because it's comfortable with my friends. And as silly as that story is, the Holy Spirit challenged me at the end of that golf round and said, "Josh, do you think," his name was CJ, "do you think it's by accident that CJ got put in your group today?" Church, if you struggle, and we've all been here, if you struggle with inclusiveness, I'd encourage you to write this down. I think the remedy for exclusiveness is to remember what God saved you out of and remember what he included you in on. When I remind myself that God excluded me from my sin, he took me out of my past, out of my shame, and I remind myself that God included me, a sinner, into his door, his grace, I'm reminded not only was I included, but everybody was. Church, one of the greatest opportunities to be inclusive, like Pastor Luke was saying earlier in the service, is Easter. And I pray that we're the type of church where it doesn't take Easter for us to be thinking about inviting our friends, because this gospel is too good to keep to ourselves. But I pray that as we approach this Easter, it's not just a, "Oh, it's gonna be awesome, and we're gonna have a great community event on Saturday, and there's gonna be people there, and I may be even serving, and Sunday morning's gonna be awesome." I pray that we are praying of who we can include, of who has been waiting to be included in our group. I wonder, and I would love for you to take your phone out if you're taking notes, I would love for you to right now, to write down three names of people that you're gonna include this Easter. Here's what I've found. There's been times in my Christian life when I've been asked to do that and I couldn't think of three names. And I know for me, it's time to become more inclusive with my life again. Been in my little church bubble too long. And it's time to be more inclusive with my life. Friends, it is simple. In your neighborhood, who can you just include in your life? There's an individual I met Think about a year and a half ago, and we're closing. And I've slowly been able to get to know this person. Works at a restaurant I go to. I didn't know him up until I met this individual, I think about a year and a half ago. And the conversations we've had, what I do know is that this individual doesn't want to come to church. And I know the main reason for that is because they are convinced that they will be judged when they come here. And church, I pray that no matter how uncomfortable it may be, that whoever walks through those doors, they don't meet a bunch of excluding Christians or judging eyes, but they meet a church that isn't perfect, but is strictly inclusive. Can I get an amen? We're gonna finish with this because there's one aspect of this door that is very exclusive. As inclusive as it is also very exclusive. And that is, it is the only door. Jesus says, John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. I was at a dinner party a couple of years ago with Brooke, and some people started talking to us and they found out what we did, and they started asking about our church. They'd heard some things, good things about our church. And then she asked me a question. I thought she was joking. This lady asked me a question. She said, well, what do you guys think about the whole Jesus is the only way thing? I remember thinking to myself, this is a joke. This is like Bible humor that just didn't work in this situation, right? She said, now surely you guys don't still believe Jesus is the only way. But Jesus makes very clear, the Bible makes very clear, he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life, and no one comes to the Father but through him. There is no other door. There is not a door of being good. There is not a door of being successful. There is only a door of surrendering your life to the one and only Jesus. And as exclusive as it is being the only door, the good news is that it is inclusive and open to everybody. And so I wonder if you're here this morning. When we ask this question, who is this man? Friend, I wonder, do you know him personally? Do you know what it is to be forgiven of your sins? To surrender your life to him, to repent of your sin, to be forgiven of your sin? Do you know that you're eternity is in heaven? Do you know the plan and the purpose for your life? Maybe you've once walked with Jesus, but if you're being honest with yourself today, and friend, if we're all being honest, we've all been here, and you've walked away, and your Christianity has become religion, it's become stale. Can't remember last time you've been to church. I wonder, would you come home today? Jesus isn't mad, he's not angry. And he says, I'll open this door as many times as you need. This door is never locked. With every head bowed and every eye closed. And if you're a Christian in this place, I would ask you, I would implore you to pray. Pray with faith. For the person to your left, the person to your right. If you're in here this morning, say, Josh, that's me. I need to give my life to Jesus. No matter how old, no matter how young, no matter how good you think you are, no matter how bad you think you are. We are all in need of a Savior, friend. And I'm gonna count to three, and when I do, if that's you in this place, say, Josh, that's me, I need to surrender my life to Jesus for the first time, or you need to do it again. When I count to three, I'm gonna ask you to lift your hand high enough and long enough for me to see it. A number of people already have in a 9 a.m. service and online as well. Say, Josh, that's me, I need to give my life to Jesus. When I count to three, when I say three, I would love if you would just raise your hand high enough and long enough for me to see it. I'm not gonna call you out, but I just wanna know who I'm praying for. With every head bowed, every eye closed, one, if you're in this place, say, Josh, that's me. I'm done living this life on my own. I need to surrender my life to Jesus. When I answer this question, who is this man? I'm not entirely sure, but I wanna know this morning that he is my Savior, who died for me, rose from the grave so that I could be in relationship with him. Two, you're being honest with this morning, you've walked away from God, you need to come back home. He's not angry, he's not mad, his arms are wide open. Three, if that's you in this place, lift your hand high enough and long enough for me to see it. There's one, two, three, four, five, six, seven hands there. Another hand there, another hand there. Another two hands there, another hand there. Another hand here, another hand here. Another hand here, another two hands here. Another hand here. Another hand over there, another two hands over there. If I've seen it, you can put it down. Another hand right there. If I've seen your hand, you can put it down. Anybody else? Another two hands right there. Anybody else? Anybody else? Another hand right there. Amazing. Anybody else? Say, Josh, that's me. Friend, whatever you think is excluding you from this gospel, Jesus included it on the cross. There is nothing that can exclude you from this door. Anybody else? Just raise your hand high enough, long enough for me to see it. I'm gonna include you in that prayer. Another hand right there. Amen. I see you, sir. Church, can we give? Come on, church, can we give? Can we lift our heads together? Can we give? Come on, church, can we give a huge shout of praise? Come on, church, can we give a huge shout of praise for every single person? Amen. We're gonna say a prayer together that changes everything. It may not change everything out there, but it changes everything in here. We're gonna say this prayer together as a church. And after we say that prayer, I'm gonna encourage you, if you raised your hand or in your heart that you did, this connection card that's on every single seat, if there's not one, please stop by the Next Steps table. And I wanna encourage you, if you made that decision, because this is a life-altering decision, I'd encourage you to fill out this. I would ask you to fill out this connection card to let us know who you are. As a church, it is our responsibility, it is our mandate, it is our passion to help and walk with you on this journey of following Jesus. The truth is that we need each other, and we can't do this Christian life without the church. Can I get an amen? Just let us know who you are. We'll let you know what your next step is. We'll reach out to you one time. I'm not gonna bug you. Reach out to you one time. Even if you've done it before, I would ask you to fill this connection card. In just a moment, Pastor Rachel's gonna come after we pray and encourage us in our giving, and that is the opportunity. You can put that in the bucket, or you can take it to our Next Steps table after the service. We're gonna say this prayer together. Come on, let's say it together. Say Jesus. Come on, say it with some passion, church. Say, Jesus, thank you for dying for me, forgiving me of my sin, raising from the dead, giving me a hope and a future. Thank you for including me. I believe in my heart, I confess with my mouth that I'm a Christian. I'm gonna live for you. Everybody said, come on, one more time, let's give a huge shout of praise for every single person.